Today it is my pleasure to speak with Joe Walsh, who is the founder and CEO of Green Clean Maine, an environmentally friendly home cleaning company serving Greater Portland since 2007. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
I really like many things about your company, not the least of which is that you've been thinking about healthier homes and non-toxic products for longer than many people have been.
Yeah.
10 years now.
Yeah, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary in October. But the start of the idea of the business was, you know, just over 10 years ago. We're March now, end of March already, so it was just over 10 years ago that the idea first started germinating in there, you know.
Appropriate for like a green, clean idea.
Yeah.
Things growing in the right way.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your background. Why is it that, what was it about your growing up life in Rhode Island that caused you to think, huh, I think I'd like to go to Maine and open a green cleaning company?
Well, I think it's one of those stories that I sort of ended up with, you know, starting a cleaning company. I didn't move to Maine with that intention. But back in Rhode Island, I had gotten interested in environmental issues through the road of sustainable development. I was involved down there in a community group that had gotten together to try and block or significantly change this suburban sprawl development that was going to be massive and would have completely changed the character of my hometown. I come from a very rural farming type place in Rhode Island and real small town, and this development that was going to go in would have just brought a whole mess of suburban sprawl to the town that was totally out of character, with like the rolling hills and the stone walls, and it just totally out of place there. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized how environmentally irresponsible it was to build that way, and I became really interested in sustainable land use and sustainable land use development, and really interested in places that had managed to remain walkable, places that weren't auto-centered. I had lived in Ireland for about 18 months after I graduated college and lived in a city there that's much like Portland, actually, Galway, Ireland on the West Coast. And they're very similar, Portland and Galway, in that they're both very walkable. They have vibrant food scenes and vibrant music scenes and vibrant art scenes and just a really cool, energetic, small city. And I, you know, that is part of what drew me to Portland. But it was also this kind of idea, this interest in environmental sustainability. So I was looking for a way to get involved in a business that would be making money, but also benefiting the environment at the same time. And I saw an opportunity in Portland that was a 3 or 4 month contract job. It was like a summer gig, and it was selling advertising for a startup publication called The Sunrise Guide, and you may know it now, it looks like.
Yeah, we've had Heather on the show before.
Oh, good. Well, that's great. Heather and I are good friends, and so I ended up coming here to help Heather get The Sunrise Guide started and sell advertising. And what I found when I was working and meeting all these great small business owners was just a super supportive small business community in the Portland area. And everybody's helping each other out and supporting each other. And I found it really inspiring. And I think that, you know, I fell in love with Portland. And I think it was falling in love with Portland and also being exposed to all of these sustainable businesses by selling advertising for The Sunrise Guide that really kind of pushed me to want to go into business for myself, because I've been thinking about it for a while. But the question was, how do I figure out how to make a profitable business and benefit the environment at the same time? And so we had a really tough time finding home cleaning companies to advertise in our guide, because they all said they were too busy. All the green cleaning companies were too busy. So light bulb went off and I said, I like to clean and there might be an opportunity there, you know? So I just started researching business plans and, you know, how that sort of thing worked. And it was a good fit for me because my father is a residential construction contractor. So I'd been used to being in people's homes and providing service in people's homes. So I was really comfortable with that kind of atmosphere, and the idea made sense to me. And so that's kind of how I got into it.
What was your original educational background? What did you think you were going to be doing when you were in college?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. When I first, I majored in communication studies because I thought I was going to be on the TV or in the radio. That was my thing. I wanted to be somehow involved with communication, broadcast communication. I didn't know if it meant I was actually going to be on the air or if I was going to be, you know, in the production studio or whatever, but I was fascinated with television and radio. But that was when I was 18, and, you know, things change pretty quickly when I got into college. I stuck with the communication studies and actually got a bachelor's degree in it, but my interest started to lean more towards leadership studies and organizational communication, you know, more the organizational and business kind of application of communication. And I have an academic minor in leadership studies, too. So that was always interesting to me.
You also were part of you're a 2016 graduate of the Maine Center for Entrepreneurial Development's Top Gun program and the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business program at Babson College. So you've continued this interest in business and leadership in a more, I guess, academic way and practical.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I like to think of Green Clean Maine as my MBA program because I thought of going back to school to get some more formal training in business, but it just didn't seem to make sense because by the time I got Green Clean Maine to a point where it was kind of self-sustaining, which was probably year 7 or 8, I realized that, you know, I've really learned a lot and I can really focus my training and my education on more practical, you know, seminar type programs that are just going to expand my mind, really, is what I need to do. So that's kind of how I've continued my education. So Top Gun was great for that because it exposed me to people and concepts and ideas that I wouldn't have otherwise been exposed to. And also helping me to think bigger. I think when you start out, I mean, I started the business, I was scrubbing toilets and, you know, on my hands and knees scrubbing floors and doing everything. From cleaning the showers to doing all the business planning and accounting and all that. And I think when you start from there, it can sometimes be difficult to take things to the next level. You have to start to think bigger and, you know, think of yourself. I've had to learn to think of myself as the owner of a company, not, you know, a guy who cleans or, you know, even a guy who manages a couple of people. So that's what those programs have really helped me with, is the kind of bigger picture stuff.
Having some experience with men in my life, there's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily follow that you would like to clean. And I'm not saying I said this in such an awkward way, like maybe just not the men that I know love cleaning as much.
Yep.
But you said you like to clean.
I do. And you wouldn't have known it by, say, looking at my college dorm room, you know, because I don't think that, for me, it was always something I actively paid attention to. But when I was a teenager, I would spend weekends, like, detailing my car. And when I used to work in my dad's construction business, I would take, you know, time to clean out the work vans and get everything neat and organized. And it's just something that I always enjoyed doing. I always found cleaning to be very cathartic, you know, it just really just makes you feel good when everything's clean and neat and organized, you know, and it actually also helps, I think, clear the mind too. And there's actually research that supports this. Of course, since I've been doing this for so long now, I hear a lot about cleaning, and there's a lot of research that actually supports the idea that for some people, actually, mental health therapists will actually, like, tell people to clean as part of their therapy, you know, so there is definitely something to that. But yeah, I just enjoy it. I just really get satisfaction out of seeing something start out looking one way, and then you spend some time with it and you can take a step back and look at your work, and there's a lot of satisfaction with that, just seeing everything just so and everything really shining at its best. In a way, it's like a passion for restoring things. You know, I want things to look and feel the best they possibly can. So I think that's probably where that comes from. But well, I do like it.
And I need to back up and say that was a fairly egregious statement on my part, that just because you are male doesn't mean that you would like to clean. Because actually, I do know men that like to clean. So I need to apologize to any man who's listening, because that was a ridiculous thing to say. And well, I'm glad that you like to clean. Personally, I like to clean, too. And there is something that is very... something about folding laundry, for example.
Yeah.
You pull it out, you put something dirty in, and by the time it comes out of the dryer, it's clean. And you fold it up, and then you get to use it again. And there's something very, satisfying about
that. Very satisfying, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you for saying that there. You don't know a lot of men who want to clean, because I just think it's true. I don't think it's a sexist statement. I mean, I don't know a lot of men who want to clean, and I'm in the business, So this is a business that's definitely... The doers, the people who actually do the work, it's definitely dominated by women. I do have a couple of men who work for me, but it's mostly women who work for me, who have the interest in doing the kind of work,
We were referred, and when I say we, I mean my household. And I should be clear, actually, the man in my life, he actually keeps things nice and neat. So he may not love to clean, but he likes things to be tidy and he likes things to be neat, and he will clean. But
yeah.
we were referred to your business through a designer friend of ours, Brett Johnson.
Oh, I love Brett.
Yeah.
Big fan of his work.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
And we waited about a year, because we had people who were working with us already and they were good,
mm-hmm.
Before we finally got in touch with your business. And it was truly amazing. It was to be able to, I think I saw the car that was a Green Clean main car. This is a tribute to your, I guess, communication skills that you have these cars out there. I made the phone call. I immediately talked to somebody. I immediately got a quote based on the information that I was given. I mean, it was impressive just from the very beginning that we were talking to a person. We didn't have to wait, and you had a system in place. There was already a system for just knowing how much it was going to cost.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for sharing that, and I'm super glad to hear that you had such a great experience. So that's exactly the kind of experience I want people to have. So I'm really glad to hear that. I am a systems nerd. I love making systems. So that's something else I just love to do. So if you put me in a situation, I'm going to look for the system that I can make and I can create out of that. So that really came naturally to me, my desire to do that. And it's not to say that it's been easy, but my desire to be able to set it up so that people would have a consistent experience from customer to customer to customer is something that I get really excited about doing, and I can really geek out on that stuff. So I'm glad to hear you had that experience. From the beginning, I wanted to build a professional organization. So I wanted to make it bigger than just me and a couple of other people cleaning houses. And all along was looking for ways to systematize things, but I didn't want it to feel like a big corporation, or didn't want it to feel like a franchise or anything, because it's not. We have that independent spirit, and we have been built from the ground up. And I also wanted the people who worked in my company to feel like they can be themselves and really relate to people and get to know people, and that's really important to me. But at the same time, there's got to be solid systems behind that, to back it up. So I'm glad to hear that you had that experience.
Well, it was great, because it was also very clear immediately, this is going to cost this much money. Mm-hmm. And this is when we will show up, and this is what's going to happen next. And that makes a big difference, because I've been fortunate to have people who have helped clean my house for a long time, because as a person who works outside the home, married to other person who works outside the home with mm-hmm. children, that was just something that we chose to prioritize for a long time. And so I have a lot of experience with people who are willing to help out with that. And it's varied. Sometimes
very varied.
We have had people who are really good and they communicated really well. And sometimes we would go weeks without people showing up. And mm-hmm. we always pre-cleaned. And then we would pre-clean and we'd wait and there wouldn't be anybody showing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we just, admission, we actually still use your company. We went through the process, and what was also great was that your company comes in and does a mandatory, like, thorough, I don't even remember what it's called, but
Our initial deep cleaning
initial
service.
Initial deep cleaning service. So like it's like you want to get people on track, and you're going to start with the grittiest, grimiest, get everything all done so that when the cleaning continues, you're going back and it's more routine.
Yeah. It's also because I want to be able to guarantee our work. So I am not going to feel like I can guarantee that your house is going to stay looking spick and span if we don't have the chance to hit the reset button first. I feel like once we've put our hands on every surface in your home, we're now responsible for the cleaning because we've had the opportunity to get everything to a baseline. So now I can tell you as a customer, I 100% guarantee that we're going to keep this place spick and span for you and you're going to love it. So, but that's why we have to do the deep cleaning first, or we just can't, we can't guarantee anything. You know, we have to get into every nook and cranny.
Yeah, and it was great because we ended up, because the quote was over the phone, people came into our house and they said, well, you know, your tub is a little bigger than we expected. It's going to take us a little longer. So, you know, is it okay if we go ahead? Yeah. And so we were just aware at every step. There weren't any surprises. This is how much it's going to be. This is what you should. And they were very thorough. They were there for hours doing this. It's not like we have a huge house, but I mean, they were there for a really long time.
Even the size of the house doesn't necessarily dictate how long it would take. And neither does, you know, if it takes a really long time, does it mean, oh, your house was super dirty or anything? But it's got to do with how many rooms you have and how much stuff you have and the way the rooms are laid out. I mean, there's a lot that goes into why it would take longer than other things. But yeah, we really try and communicate with people along the way. And I believe that if you create good, reliable systems that work, people will thrive within those systems. So I don't think that if you create really good systems, it means that every movement is scripted and people sort of seem stiff and impersonal. I think it's quite the opposite. I think if you have a really, really solid system in place that your employees know work, that the system works, then they can feel free to act within that system and be themselves and, you know, make sure that the focus on the client rather than focus on, like, how are we going to get this work done? So sounds like it worked. In your case, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, definitely did. And we, you know, every week, because we'd have our house cleaned every 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, I have literally, because I have three children and have been a doctor for 20 years, I'm very fortunate that I've had this sort of help. I have so much experience that it's very rare that we had people before that would come in, clean the house, and then leave us a nice note and say, you know, have a good day, or
the notes.
and it was really, it's really great. You know, it, and after enough notes, we actually did go on Yelp and leave a positive review, which was something that was asked.
That's great.
And we, you know, you guys follow up via email. And I think one of the reasons I like this so much is that I'm also a systems nerd. I mean, I feel like there are things that you can just put in place. They shouldn't be, it's a nice structure to work within. Mm-hmm. So you're not like wasting time. If you put something good in place from the beginning, and you don't have to waste time messing around doing the same thing over and over again in an inefficient way.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to set it and forget it. I mean, and nothing in business is truly set it and forget it. You're constantly revisiting and revising. And that's something I've learned along the way. You know, I think when I first started out, I thought, I'm going to build these systems and then I'll be able to walk away and everything will just be hunky-dory. But it doesn't really work that way. You always have to revisit and revise and check and test. Is this working? What do we need to change? But I completely agree with you. You set up that system and then you don't have to waste mental energy thinking about how to reinvent the wheel every time you have to go do this thing, whatever it is that you have to do. So
you started out yourself and somewhat smallish, but I've now seen your cars in lots of places. I know you have different teams all over the place. What is your reach?
Well, we serve currently Saco to Freeport and West to Windham. We're talking about expanding that a little bit farther out. And I've got just shy of 30 people cleaning. And so every day there's going to be somewhere between 22 and 27 people out cleaning homes and small offices for Green Clean Maine. And I've got 14 vehicles out on the road, I believe. So those are the little white cars you see with the logo, all around the Portland area. But yeah, that's our reach now. I mean, I can see us getting out to Sebago Lake to the west a little bit, so that's a little bit farther than we go now, but I can see us getting out there soon, and I can see us getting as far south as Kennebunker Wells, because we're getting more and more demand from that area. You know, people really wanting us to come down there, so I think we're getting ready to make that leap.
Yeah, I think it took us a little while to get on the schedule. I mean, clearly you're very popular. It seems like whatever it is that you're doing must appeal to people.
Yeah, I mean, for us, the toughest thing, and I think you'll hear this from a lot of business owners, is finding good people to do the work. And we also have a training process that is rigorous, so it takes a while for us to ramp up for staffing to add capacity. So our basic training is 3 weeks of direct supervised training. We have new people come in and work with a team leader and train hands-on, and it's all supervised, and there's a lot of follow-up and a lot of you know, supervision and checking of work and things like that. And then after the initial 3 weeks, there's another 2 months of sort of, you know, you're done with basic training, but you're still being supervised and things. So it takes a while for us to really get someone to the point where we know that they're able to do what we need them to do. So that's sometimes why the wait when people call, and you might have to wait a couple of weeks before we can get you on the schedule, because it's just it's a capacity thing for us.
Yeah. And how has it been for you to hire and retain people who want to do this work and want to do it well?
That's a great question. I know that we do a good job at this as compared to other people in our industry, but it's still a very high turnover industry. So, you know, our average length of employment for people once they get past training is 2 years. So, you know, if you take everyone who's working for me right now, I have some people who have been with me for almost 6 years. I have some people who have been with me for just a few months. If you average it all out, it's 2 years, which in this business is good. That's a really healthy number, but it's still a high turnover industry. But we're getting, each year that number gets higher. So our goal is to make that average more like 4 years. That's where we really want to be. So we're working on that. But we are finding success because in finding good people for a few reasons. One is you can actually make pretty good money working for us as a housekeeper. So you're going to make better money by the end of your first year than you would working in most of the hotels in the area, for example. So if you're looking at housekeeping work. And we also provide so much training that we find our employees really appreciate the structure and the training. I mean, the training program is very structured. Again, you're talking about systems. We really work hard to make sure everybody gets the same information and that it's people learn as they go. And we have some great trainers who really can adapt to people's different learning styles. And we just get a lot of feedback that our employees appreciate that. And so We attract people because we're not corporate, because we're a smaller company. We have a little bit of a personality, I think, and we're really sort of engaged in the local business community in the greater Portland area. And we retain people because they can quickly move up in the company, which is not like a lot of entry-level jobs. I mean, working for us, you start at $11 an hour. And a lot of entry-level jobs like that, you know, you might start at 11 and in 18 months you might be making 11.25, but for us in 18 months you're probably making $14 or $15 an hour, and you probably have a company car. And for someone who's 25, 26, 30 years old to be making, you know, $15 an hour plus and have a company car and have paid vacation, you know, these things, I mean, it's a good job. So that's how we end up able to keep people.
And have you been able to make your goal of having a sustainable business model?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the business in a lot of ways runs itself. It's what allows me to do things like be interviewed for a podcast on a radio show. But it does. But one of my big goals for the business is to be one of the few cleaning businesses in the country, the few residential cleaning businesses in the country, I should be specific about that, that offer health insurance. Right now, we're not big enough to be able to really support that financially, but it is a major goal of mine. So, you know, in my mind, our next big milestone is to be able to offer, you know, full-scale health benefits for our employees. We used to, for a short period of time, there was really generous subsidies for small businesses to offer health coverage, and those went away when the Affordable Care Act came into place, but that's fine because my employees get really good coverage under the Affordable Care Act, and so they're able to get the health coverage that they need from some way, shape, or form with the ACA. But, you know, given the current political climate, who knows what's going to happen with the ACA, and I want my company to be able to provide health benefits if they lose their ACA coverage, because quite a few of my employees depend on the subsidies from the ACA to get health insurance for themselves and their families. And so if they lose that, I want to be able to swoop in and do it. So my goal is that in next year, by next year or the year after, we're able to offer health insurance. So that to me is when I'll feel like, okay, now we're really a sustainable long-term business that'll, you know, be able to keep going for decades. You know, once I feel like we've reached that mass where we can actually do that, that's like the last, to me, the last big milestone for us.
I have no doubt that you will be able to reach that goal. You seem like you've accomplished really great things in the last 10 years, and I hope that your team continues to do a great job on my house. I have no doubt that they will with there either, because they really, I guess, call out Team Ashley. That's the people I've been working with,
that's
and
great.
They've
I'm
done a really nice
that.
Job. Yeah. I've been speaking with Joe Walsh, who is the founder and CEO of Green Clean Maine, an environmentally friendly home cleaning company serving Greater Portland since 2007. And I'll also say you guys have a fun Instagram feed, so thank you for that, too.
Yeah, check us out at Green Clean Maine. I have to make a plug for that. We have such a talented photographer we're working with on that, and she's also a client of ours. And we've been so lucky to be able to have her help us out. So definitely check it out.
Yep. Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm.